Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you don't think Easter is political, then reread your Bible.
One of us is getting this wrong. And I am waiting for all of the liberals to say, hey, wait a second. He's infusing his religion into politics. Cue the crickets. You ain't going to hear it. James Tallarico, Easter Sunday last year, supposedly preaching about the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Because during Holy Week, we Christians should be asking ourselves what tables still need to be overturned.
Wow, he's sounding kind of nationalistic. He's sounding like he's maybe inciting, I don't know, rebellion? Is that what he's coaching?
The way of Jesus is not fight or flight. It's a third way. The way of nonviolent resistance.
Well, you ain't talking like that.
A way of confronting violence without mirroring it. A way of extinguishing evil with love.
Easter.
Love not just for our friends,
Easter.
But for our enemies too.
The Resurrection.
Prophet Muhammad said something similar.
Now the Presbyterian Seminary student is quoting the prophet Muhammad. The prophet who married a six-year-old. That same prophet are we talking about?
He said, help your brother, whether he is oppressed or whether he is an oppressor. The prophet was asked, how do we help him if he's an oppressor? The prophet replied, by stopping him from oppressing.
I don't know what surah he's citing, but he's quoting a man whose religion was propagated by the sword. Yeah, and notice too, is about your brother, if it's a fellow Muslim. But toward the infidels, they're to be slain. Once again, selective choosing of surahs from the Quran at the Presbyterian Easter service.
Nonviolence takes seriously the belief that we are all sacred.
I wonder if he's on record of denouncing all of the violence that has taken place in liberal cities as liberals incited violence and burned cities down. Paging Minneapolis, did he decry that? Can he cite the violence of conservatives? Waiting.
We are all holy, even our enemies.
No, unless our enemies are in Christ, they're not holy. Because the only way we can be holy is to be made holy, which is what Easter is about, but not this sermon. Where are we? Hello.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, good.
A devout Hindu.
Great.
Summed up nonviolence by saying, there are many causes I would die for, but there is not a single cause I would kill for.
Okay, whatever. The guy's ecumenical beyond biblical bounds. He's quoting Muhammad and Gandhi. Where's your Bible quote? Can we get to the Bible? Hello, it's Easter. You're in a Presbyterian church.
Like Jesus, Gandhi feared evil more than he feared death.
Like Jesus, Gandhi feared evil. So Jesus feared evil? I don't think so, son.
That's the choice in front of us. During Holy Week, we often say that Jesus died for us.
Yeah.
But what we forget is that right before he died, he turned that back on us.
Huh?
He said, this is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you.
Again, it's like, where are you? It's like, okay, now this is John 17, I presume, when he was teaching them before the passion began in the garden. This is just a disjointed dog's breakfast.
And there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for others. So during Holy Week, we should ask ourselves, who are we willing to die for? Are we willing to die for our friends, Are we willing to die for our neighbors? Are we willing to die for our enemies? Because on Easter, we remember true love goes to the bitter end. It goes to the cross.
What is he asking? Now, everything he's saying, it's Christianese. You know, you hear the words in there. What is he saying? What is he asking for here? What is the point of this? This is supposed to be about Resurrection Sunday.
On April 8th, 1945, 8 days after Easter, the Nazi regime executed a German pastor because Dietrich Bonhoeffer challenged political power in the name of love.
Challenged it? It was more than a challenge. And there was violence involved with an assassination of a leader. Now, I bring that up because he keeps telling us it's not about violence. It's not about mirroring doing bad things. And yet, what is he calling for here? If I were a liberal, you know what I would say if I were a liberal? He's calling for the assassination of Donald Trump. That's what I would say if I were a liberal, but I'm not, so I wouldn't say that.
On April 4th, 1968, 10 days before Easter, a white supremacist assassinated a Baptist minister at the Lorena Motel in Memphis, Tennessee.
What is it being 10 days away from Easter have to do with, you know, Easter?
Because Martin Luther King Jr. challenged social power in the name of love. And on March 24th, 1980, 9 days before Easter,
okay,
military forces in El Salvador, backed by American corporations, shot and killed a Catholic priest while he was giving communion because Oscar Romero challenged economic power in the name of love.
Liberation theology? That must be what he is also. Liberation guy. That it's all about oppression and setting people free. Is that his understanding of Easter? Because if you recall, I'm sorry to have to remind you, but this is actually supposed to be an Easter sermon, is what this is.
Like Jesus, these Christians spoke love to power and lost. But right before his murder, Father Romero said, as a Christian, I don't believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, I will rise again in the people of El Salvador.
Okay, that has nothing to do with Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We've now quoted a Roman Catholic priest, we've Mahatma Gandhi, we've quoted the prophet Muhammad. Bible verse? Do we have any Bible verses?
Scripture reminds us that a seed spreads when it's crushed.
Huh. Jimmy, do you know what verse said a seed spreads when it's crushed?
I can't say that I do.
I mean, that's the pattern of the universe.
Is it?
Creation out of destruction. Life out of death. Resurrection out of crucifixion. Reality is shaped like a cross. Violence may win in the short run, but in the end, love always wins.
Okay, who's being violent here, sir? Your team. Your team's being violent everywhere. This is what just makes it so galling. It's like you're preaching this sermon against the violence of the right. What cities have conservatives burned down? What assassination attempts by conservatives have there been? Please.
Or as Paul said, love never fails.
There, we got a Bible verse. There it is. Love never fails. I thought we were going to get all the way through this thing without a Bible verse. I wonder if some people at this Presbyterian Church left after hearing that parenthetical Bible verse.
On Easter, we remember that the last word doesn't belong to suffering. It doesn't even belong to death. The last word belongs to love.
Okay. Okay.
A few weeks ago, I met with the Uvalde families, the parents who lost their children in the massacre at Robb Elementary School, a suffering beyond comprehension.
I'm not sure which one this was. Jimmy, was this one of the transgender people that shot up the school shootings?
I'm looking.
Yeah, I can't remember. Was it somebody wearing a MAGA hat? I don't think that would, no, that's none of them. Not that I'm, you get my point.
But these families still make the 160-mile drive from Uvalde to the state capitol to advocate for gun safety, to prevent what happened to them from happening to any other family. Out of their despair, a larger love was born. That's the miracle of resurrection.
Okay, so it's about love. So Jesus modeled love. All right, why? What was he modeling? What was being accomplished? So you're telling me the best way to model love is a gruesome death that apparently has no point or purpose. That's what love is. Sorry, this illustration, I've used it before, but it still stands. A dude goes running down a pier, jumps into the water, screaming, "I love you," and drowns. You'd go, what was the point of that? Bingo. What's the point of Jesus' crucifixion? Was it an act of love? Of course, but it had a purpose. It had a point. And that point and purpose was penal substitutionary atonement. This fellow, he probably knows that. I suspect if you asked him, do you affirm penal substitutionary atonement? He would say, no, no, I don't. It's some other theory that is obviously sub-biblical and thoroughly infused with politics. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Seriously, I mean it. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do here at Fortas Institute, not just with Wretched Radio, but with all of our other content that we're producing on a daily basis. Whatever keeps you coming back and showing up, we don't take that lightly. There is a reality about all of this, and that's that producing daily radio like Wretched takes resources. It takes studio time, equipment, staff, distribution, and it all adds up. And the reason that we are able to continue doing this at the level that we've been doing it is because of our gospel partners. Men and women just like you who have linked arms with us and give to this ministry so that we can stay on the air and reach more people in more places all over the world. And so if our ministry has ever been a source of encouragement for you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have at FortisInstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually. And eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortas Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortas Plus for free. Download the Fortas Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to FortasPlus.org and walk like a man.
There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortas Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. We're talking about marriage when things aren't easy and mental health and whether the Bible has real answers. Biblical manhood for a generation that's never been really given a model to follow. These are in-depth conversations with people like Dr. Jason Lyle, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Kratz, teachers who take the Bible seriously and don't shy away from the hard topics. These Fortas Forums are all on Fortas Plus for you to watch right now for free. And they're ready when you are. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to FortasPlus.org and see what biblical depth actually looks like.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
In the Gospels, the resurrection accounts are stories of mistaken identity. The disciples mistake Jesus for a gardener and a fisherman. They're seeing Christ all over the place.
What is going on here?
Resurrection is when we see Christ in everyone and everything.
Well, he's not. He's their creator, but the only ones in whom he dwells are those who have repented and put their trust in him. What is this?
Do you know people who love Jesus but don't seem to love anyone else? Scripture says in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. If you don't love others as your equals, if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, then you are not in Christ.
Whoa, that's judgmental.
Matthew 25 tells us how we will be judged. And
okay, here we go. Great. This is just butchery.
Saved.
No, wait. Did you hear him sneak that in? Hold on. This needs to be heard.
Matthew 25 tells us how we will be judged and saved.
No, it doesn't. We will be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, not based on what we do. What we do is an indicator of what we believe and what we have become, but it is not what saves us. Dude, come on, man. You're a Protestant, at least to some degree. You should know the gospel is not about what we do.
By feeding the hungry, by healing the sick, by welcoming the stranger, by visiting the prisoner. Nothing about being a Christian. Nothing about going to church. Nothing about reading the Bible.
Oh, this is just so agitating.
Just helping people.
That's it. That's how you go to heaven, right there. Just help people. Don't go to church. Just help people and you get to go to heaven. What? This was a Presbyterian seminary?
Just loving. Christ said, what we do for the least of these, we do for him. So where is Christ today? Christ is the immigrant, deported without due process. Christ is the senior, deprived of their Social Security benefits.
No, he's not. Who's denying seniors Social Security benefits anyway? And aren't people who are in the country illegally actually breaking the law?
Christ is the protester kidnapped in an unmarked vehicle by plainclothes officers. Christ is the student.
Wait a second. Protester? What was he? Was it the ICE that arrested somebody? I don't know who he's talking about here, but if they were breaking the law, then they weren't kidnapped. They were arrested.
Sitting in an overcrowded classroom in a defunded school.
Boy, this is manipulative stuff. And it's totally incoherent.
Sometimes I wonder, what would Jesus do if he visited the Texas legislature? What would he say to me and my colleagues? I think he would tell us, depart from me.
Mm.
For I was hungry and you cut my food stamps.
Oh, I've heard this before.
And you kicked me off Medicaid.
Okay. I'm going to fast forward just because I think we all get the point. I can't take it no more. I don't know where this is going
to
queue up.
To affirm our suffering, to affirm the hard parts of life. Father Richard Rohr, one of my favorite writers, says there are two ways to meet God, great love and great suffering.
I thought it was through Jesus. I guess maybe they know something outside of the Bible. I don't.
Because those are the only two things strong enough to break our egos, to free us of our desire for power and control, to force us to finally let go. The Sufi poet Rumi put it.
We've quoted more pagans than Paul. And by the way, did you notice, not that I anticipated that this would happen, but we didn't hear, all right, everybody, open up your Bible and we're going to study this text. No, this is a political stump speech inside of a church. That's all this is. This is politics with a pastiche of liberal Christianity.
This way, he said, the wound is the place the light enters you. The wound is the place the light enters you.
I can't think of a parallel Bible verse.
In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who weep." I think because sometimes we see the world most clearly through our tears. If your heart is breaking right now, it means you still have a heart.
No, Jesus was talking about when you weep over your sins. Because that's the posture of the individual who's been confronted with their own sinfulness. They weep over it. Ay.
It means you're still human. Protect that. Trust that. That is what will get us out of all this.
Oh.
Blessed are you who weep. It's strange celebrating Easter without Dr. Jim.
It's strange that you think you're actually celebrating Easter.
But as we await the return of our beloved teacher, we continue the work. We fill in and carry on. When you leave this service and you walk outside, you'll see flowers blooming, birds returning. In spring, what was once dead is resurrected. Martin Luther said, God has written the promise of resurrection, not in scripture alone, but in every leaf in springtime. Everything is a miracle. No. In spring, we celebrate new beginnings, baptisms, weddings, graduations.
Being born again, being raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. No.
It's also the holiest time of year.
Why?
Billions of people across the globe celebrate Passover, okay. Easter,
Why?
And Ramadan.
Dude is ecumenically consistent.
We may use different lyrics, but we are singing the same hymn.
No, we're not. That's heresy. That's it. That's heresy. He just said basically different tune, same song. As the Muslim, as a Jewish person who doesn't believe in their Messiah. Okay, I'm sorry. We don't drop this word randomly or casually or slap it down like the Pharisee card. What you just heard is heresy. So this young man is a heretic.
Out of domination comes liberation. Out of darkness comes light. And out of death comes life. Winter doesn't last forever. Spring is finally here. And love wins in the end. I invite you now to your own thoughts on these words.
There's nothing to contemplate in any coherent fashion. That was pablum from beginning to end. That wasn't an Easter message. Shame. Shame on that church. Shame on him for delivering a political homily that was nothing short of just a liberal screed covered with some badly used Bible verses. And where's the press? Where are all the people who decry those of us who think that somehow the Bible just might inform our thinking about political issues, that we're members of we're Nazis or KKK, or we're Christian nationalists? The irony, yeah, thick. The agitation, here's where it lies for me. Those people that are sitting there, they heard nothing hopeful. They heard nothing that would be wind underneath their wings, nothing to lift them up, nothing to exhort, nothing to encourage, nothing that gives them an actual sure footing on which to stand. That was just all platitudinal pablum of the political persuasion. There, I did it. That was a good alliteration right there. What can we take from this hash? Let's make sure we do better. Let's make sure that we don't lose sight of the gospel. Let's make sure that when we preach it on Sunday morning, that we celebrate penal substitutionary atonement, that Jesus died intentionally. He was the victor. He defeated death. He wasn't a loser. This is a glorious day, but it is only magnificent when we recognize what was actually happening on that day, that Jesus Christ was paying the penalty for our sin in his life's blood. We have to do better than this fellow at articulating that. Now, most likely at churches on Easter Sunday, they're not going to be quoting Gandhi, but they can lose their way and they can lose sight of it because we so often confuse, water down, or forget the actual gospel, which is this: Jesus died for sinners. And so on Easter Sunday, we need to preach the right Jesus. Furthermore, we need to preach that he died for sinners, that we might be reconciled to God. Let's make sure that our evangelistic confessions, they include penal substitutionary atonement, because any other version of crucifixion and resurrection, sorry, don't want to use it casually. It's heresy. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.